about who he is. But what about how Jesus described himself?
Hello.
Hello.
I hear you've got a bit of a mystery you want solving.
Well, yes, we do. We're exploring how Jesus described himself whilst he was with his disciples.
Aha! I wonder if I might be able to help.
Possibly, but it might be helpful to know who you are first.
You don't know who I am?
No.
I am the great Detective Who.
Detective Who? I thought it was Doctor.
Doctor? That's my cousin. He even took his dress sense from me.
I'm sorry, though, I have to say I've never heard of you before.
How rude!
Well, given that you're here, I guess you could help us with some clues.
I'd be happy. Got to love solving a good mystery.
So what kind of thing might you be looking for, then?
Well, fingerprints, unusual objects, things out of place.
Okay, so can you see anything?
Well, maybe if I use my sonic magnifying glass, I might be able to find some things. Let me take a look. Aha! I think I found something!
What have you found?
Well, it looks like a bit of a puzzle. I do like a puzzle, you know.
Yes, I've heard. What does it mean?
If you keep asking questions like that, I'm going to call you Dr. Watt.
Fine, okay. Do I get an outfit?
Maybe next week.
Fair enough. I like it, I know you like a good puzzle. I think there might be some more pieces around. I wonder if anyone spotted any of what? I am. Okay.
Yes, that's right, I am.
What does that mean? It does remind me of something.
What?
I'm Dr. Watt. I thought you said that's what I am.
Yes, you definitely, yes. I'm the great Detective Who.
Well,
yes.
You've only found one clue so far, so your greatness is yet to be proved.
I beg your pardon.
But it's a good clue, though.
Yes, yes.
Way back in history, God's people were slaves to the Egyptians, and Moses encountered God in the desert in the form of a burning bush. And God told Moses to go to Pharaoh in Egypt and ask him to let his people go. Moses asked God for his name so he could tell the people of Israel who had sent him. And God says this. Oh, have we got the microphone? Honestly, can't get the staff these days. I gave him one job. No, no, it's not true. He's got lots of jobs. We'll get there. There we go. And this is what God said.
God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, had sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.
So I am is the name that God called himself way back then.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Well, it's a good start. How about you look for another clue?
Okay, let's have another look. Ah, this looks interesting. Look.
What have you found?
Well, it's it looks like a random set of words. Let me see if I can sort this out. I think I might need a hand.
I think you need a hand. How many hands?
Oh, lots.
Okay, so we need some more hands. You're going to have to help him sort this out.
Jesus once again addressed them. I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles about in the darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in. The Pharisees objected. All we have is your word on this. We need more than that to go on. Jesus replied, you are right that you only have my word, but you can depend on it being true. I know where I come from and where I go next. You don't know where I am from or where I am headed. You decide according to what you have seen and touch. I don't make judgments like that. But even if I did, my judgment would be true, because I wouldn't make it out of the narrowness of my experience, but in the largeness of the one who sent me, the Father. That fulfills the conditions set in God's law, that you can count on the testimony of two witnesses, and that is what you have. You have my word, and you have the word of the Father who sent me. They said, who is this so-called father of yours? Jesus said, you are looking right at me, and you don't see me. How do you expect to see the Father? If you knew me, you would know the same time know the Father. He gave this speech in the treasury while teaching in the temple.
Okay. So Jesus said he was the light of the world when he was talking with the teachers in the temple. And that's okay, but I think we probably need another clue to help us understand things a bit more.
Right, I'm on it. Ooh. Oh, I found something. I think I found a torch. Do you think that might enlighten us?
Just who do you think you are making such a bad pun? But yes, I think it might help because it reminds us of our verse of the year. Can anyone remember what that is? If not, there might be a clue under your chair. A chair. Ah, Josh, you seem to have found the clue. Excellent. Could you come and read that to us? What's our verse of the year, please?
Would you like that?
Thank you.
The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
119, 105. Thank you very much. But yes.
I just remembered one word that was said in that. Didn't John start his gospel telling us that Jesus is the Word?
Well, he does. That is absolutely true. So Jesus, the Word, who is God. Remember, he used the phrase "I am." He shows us the way to go.
Right. So we're getting somewhere then.
We are indeed, but that's just one way that Jesus can be light for us. Are there other? Is there another clue that might help us understand how Jesus is the light of the world a bit more?
Maybe. I think I spotted something near the back.
Okay.
Ah, I spotted something.
What have you found?
It's a lighthouse. Is that a clue?
I think so, because lighthouses have lights that flash on and off so that ships far out to sea can stay safe, either to stay away from a dangerously rocky shore or to guide them safe into the safety of the harbour. And night ships can look to the lighthouse for guidance. We can look to Jesus to help keep us from danger and to keep us safe.
Do you think there are any more clues to help us understand who Jesus is?
Well, you're the detective.
That is true. I think perhaps I'd better go look elsewhere for some more clues. It may take me some time, so you carry on.
The thing is, not only did Jesus say he was the light of the world, but he also said that we are to be lights in the world and we're to let our light shine before others. And for some of us, that means doing things that, like Jesus would want to us right where we are, But for others, Jesus calls them to go and be his lights in other places. This morning, I'm really pleased to welcome Hannah Jackson. She's come to share here this morning. She grew up here at Yardley. But God called her to be a light for Jesus by serving in Africa. And you're going to tell us a little bit more about what you've been up to. So, yeah, over to you.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with you this morning. And, to share with you a little bit. So I'm back on home assignment. I have been in Tanzania. And if you imagine in your head an African village with palm trees and mango trees and stick houses, that's kind of the place that I was. I think the first photo, do I click? Yes, there we go. So, that was where I was based for 2.5 years with Africa Inland Mission. Poor subsistence farmers, remote, very dry in the dry season and very wet in the rainy season. Different, so different to the UK in nearly every way. We got stuck in mud, not stuck in traffic, and so many other things. Linking in with the talk so far, it was a place of great spiritual darkness. So very tribal, traditional African religions. Most people would say they were Muslims, but that actually didn't reflect in their lives too much. A lot of witchcraft, a lot of fear, a lot of hopelessness. And it's very hard for people in this part of the world to find out about the hope and the light of Jesus and his glorious gospel, because there aren't any Christians in the area traditionally. There's no history of Christianity in this area. There's not enough Christians from other places, or there's not enough local Christians to form a local church to reach out to the local people. There is a small church made up of outsiders, and more on that later. But I went with a small team with the aim of bringing light and the hope of Jesus to this dark place. And we did this by living in community. This is me learning language and by showing that I care enough about them and Jesus to learn the language is quite a powerful witness to them, I hope. So I was learning with this lady. She would help me with my language, learning Swahili. And learning about their way of life, doing things like going and collecting water when our rainwater tank had run out. Getting stuck in the community. There's a real sense of local community, kind of everyone knows everyone. And so that was a joy to join in with that. And that might have been going picking greens with our neighbours or helping Shell take the grains off maize cobs. So sharing life, talking about what's important to us. I would sometimes practice my Sunday school lesson. So I was doing a bit of Sunday school teaching in Swahili, and I would write out my Swahili lesson, and then I would practice it with my neighbours, with the guise of sort of doing language practice. Can you tell me if I'm saying this right? And then they would both help me, and I would help them to understand about what the message of Jesus is. Lots of playing with children. They love to see photos on phones and have photos taken. Joining with the local, I got these children to help me plant a new little flower bed outside our door, and would sometimes sing songs with them, church Christian songs. Doing everyday evangelism, sharing Jesus with them. And then sometimes doing something a little bit more formal. So this is my housemate and I invited some of the local ladies around for a meal, and we showed a short gospel video. We did that a few times. As a team, we did some children's outreaches, a bit like Holiday Club in a Day. So we played games, there was drama, a talk. And we would also do some kind of open-air preaching, and this is showing the Jesus film. On the side of our team car, if you can see there, and people would come and see the Jesus film, which, although it's like super old, it's straight from the Bible, and they're seeing the life of Jesus and who he is and what he has done for them. And as I said, there's a little church. We're meeting, or they're meeting, underneath the trees at the moment still. But we were trying to encourage them to do evangelism and outreach as well. So these are people who aren't local. They live in the area now, but they've moved into the area and are come from Christian areas, and we're encouraging them to reach out to the local community. And our team was a multicultural team. There were 4 expats, Canadians, South Africans, and me, and then 6 Tanzanians who come from other places in Tanzania but felt called to reach their own country and their own folks from their own country with the good news of Jesus. So we were working together. And that's what Africa Inland Mission is all about. That's the organization I'm serving with. Africa Inland Mission is all about working with local churches and national Christians partnering to share the gospel with people who otherwise wouldn't get to hear the good news that Jesus saves. And that's through things like church planting, what I was doing, outreach and discipleship, and also theological education, training pastors, and mobilizing Christians in African countries to reach out to those who aren't Christians. So I'm on home assignment at the moment, rest and reconnection, doing things like this. But in the autumn, I'm going back to Africa. I'm going to Nairobi in Kenya, and I'm going to be a child safety assistant is my title, but I guess in the UK we might call it deputy safeguarding officer. So working to make sure that children like these, missionary children, are safe and that they can thrive as a family and their parents especially are making Jesus known. So helping their parents be light, but also bringing light to children. Like, children can go through some really hard times. There's a lot of darkness in the world, but trying to be light for them in that place, and helping the children to walk in light. Thank you for your gift last year towards the church building. This is an old photo of beginning the foundations. I don't know whether I shared this one with you already, but last week my teammate Johanna has stayed in the village with his wife Annette and their little boy, and I heard from Johanna last week that they were doing some and the next stage of the foundations in readiness for starting to build the walls. I mean, the walls are kind of low at the moment, foundational, but soon they're going to be making a bit more progress, so I will keep you abreast of that as well. So thank you for that gift. And on the, so there's a few prayer stations around for later, but on the one at the back in that corner, there's my new prayer cards. If you'd like to take a prayer card, take it home, stick it on your fridge, you're welcome. Some other information, and if you'd like to receive in your inboxes my monthly updates, there's a little piece of paper where you can write your email address and you'll get my updates in your inboxes. So thank you for that. Thanks.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing us with, Hannah. It's good to sort of hear from you direct rather than just on a video. So